Good morning. Good morning. Do you come and have a seat? I'd love to see you. And great to be able to meet together. Did you know that this Sunday in the church's calendar is traditionally called Low Sunday? Low Sunday? Linda does. Anyone else? I'm sure Johnny does. But it's the Sunday after Easter, and you're supposed to be all sort of, you know, resurrectioned out, and so you have a bit of a dip. But with the wind blowing you here in the sunshine, I'm sure everyone's full of joy. And in this sort of funny, is it the end of the holidays? Is it the middle of the holidays Sunday? No one's quite sure, but we'll be able to enjoy our time together for our all-age service. It's lovely to have the Lee family here, all the way from Biswam. Do catch up with them over coffee afterwards. If you're new to our church family, Johnny was curate here 4 years ago, ages ago, wasn't it? Didn't you leave in
3 years ago? Yeah.
Was it only 3 years ago? There you go. Well, you were curate here 4 years ago, but yeah, it wasn't untrue, but you were still here for another year. There you go. And yeah, we've got another curate arriving soon. Isn't that exciting? So got that to look forward to. Well, we're going to begin by singing to gather ourselves this Sunday morning as God's people, and let's sing of our risen King together. Let's stand. Do you have a seat? And just a couple of notices, because it's sort of the beginning of a new term, there's a new term card out available at the back for those who like a term card to stick on a mantelpiece or a fridge or something, giving you an idea of what's coming up all the way through till the end of August, I think this is, isn't it? Yeah, end of August. So a long term card there if you want one of those. And at the end of the month, April the 28th, we've got our annual church meetings on Sunday, sort of afternoon, evening. A bring and share tea, 4:30 in the hall. And picnic tea. Got to get that right. Picnic tea, not bring and share tea. Picnic tea. Meetings in here at 5:30. And there will be childcare provided if you want to bring children. It'll just be watching a video of something through the meeting. Not of the meeting. Our church family walk, I know lots of people look forward to that. We're going to a new venue after the slight altercations with the local farmer over the last couple of years, particularly that Becca had to deal with. We're going to go to a new venue, so it'll be exciting and different, still by a lake with a walk, hopefully lots of space for parking as well, although there might be a charge for the parking. We're just going to have to work that one out. May Bank Holiday, 6th of May. I can either give you the details to meet up there. It's sort of on Coniston Water, basically, or you can meet at the Vicarage at 8:45. And also coming up as well, I'm sure lots of people have signed up for it already, Church Family Weekend. Few people have signed up for it. Yeah, brilliant. We've got Kaylee on the Friday evening, we've got a day of teaching on the Saturday. Well, teaching and fun and games as well in the afternoon. Nathan's parents are coming to join us. Andrew is going to be particularly teaching us through that day. We'll have some input from our other mission partners as well. Just an opportunity to be thinking about world mission. And then on the Sunday morning, Andrew's going to preach for us again on Psalm 67, which is what Platform 67, the mission organization they run, is named after. So we should get the theme tune of that very definitely. And it will also be our gift Sunday on that Sunday morning, as usual. A gift day on the 12th of May as well. Is that all the notices? I think that's all the notices for us this morning. Great. Well, as we gather this morning, we've sung, haven't we, of being people of the risen King, the risen Lord Jesus. And it's a delight to know that we have life in him, isn't it? And part of knowing that life is to recognize that he has died for us, died for our sin, died that we might be forgiven, died to open up the gates of heaven for us. And so as we gather as his people this morning, it's good for us to confess our sins together, and either on the screen or on the server sheet, you'll find there a prayer of confession that we can pray together now. So together, let's pray. Almighty God, you have sent your Son to be the one true sacrifice for sin. Yet we sin so easily and treat your love so lightly. Give us true repentance by your Holy Spirit, that before your throne we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Through Jesus Christ, our great High Priest. Amen. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus is indeed risen from the dead and that today he sits at your right hand, ruling over all. Thank you that he is the resurrection and the life, and he's proved it by going into your presence before us. And thank you that therefore we can have confidence that as we trust in him, we are seated in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus already. And we have that glorious future to look forward to. So please fill us with that resurrection joy, that confidence, that hope of heaven, and fill us with your Spirit that we might be longing for that day when we see him face to face. And we pray it in his precious name. Amen. Great. Well, with it being a new term, we've got a new sort of series on Sunday mornings that we're starting and kicking off today. And so it'd be good to have a little bit of a sort of all up of the story so far. Don't worry, we're not starting the book of Revelation. We're not going through the whole Bible. It's just the sixth book of the Bible. I'm not going to tell you the name yet. See if you can work that out. Most people know the first five, and then they're like, oh, what comes next? Anyway, we'll pick up the story, certainly. We're not going to go right to the beginning. Let's pick up the story with Abraham. So I'm sure kids at school, but also adults as well. What was it that God gave to Abraham? What did God give to Abraham that was so, so special? So special. The first thing that God gave to Abraham. Go on, AJ. That's part of it. What was the big thing that that is a part of? Thomas? We're going to get them all here. Intern. They are part of, go on for it. Promise, yeah. God gave Abraham a big promise, didn't he? A big promise. And we have just heard two parts of that promise. So again, nice and loud, AJ. Land. He promised Abraham, didn't he, that he would give a land for his descendants to live in, certainly. And Thomas as well. People, yes, he promised that he would give a big people. Wrong order, isn't it? There, thank you, Bethany. There we go. So we got the people there, we got the land. And then the final part, the biggest and best part maybe of the whole thing. Go on then, Tobes. Blessing. Yeah, blessing as well. To know God as our king, to know his blessing and his rule in our life. And so that was the big, big promise that the whole of the rest of the Bible addresses, doesn't it? Those themes track all the way through from Genesis to Revelation and are picked up in different ways in different books of the Bible. We're now going to fast forward a little bit. So you've got Abraham, haven't you? And his son was? Anyway, Isaac. Yeah, brilliant. And his sons were?
Esau and Jacob,
yes. And the son of the promise was? Yeah, looking smug. You got the answer right. Didn't listen to the next question. Being distracted by the vicar's wife, clearly. Jacob, yeah. So you got Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Jacob had a few more sons. We won't list them all. Which is the son of the promise, though? Am I going to catch someone out? Go on, Pips. Nah. He was the most famous of the sons, in a sense, wasn't he? He wasn't actually the son of the promise. Go on, Lucy. Judah was the son of the fourth son of the promise that the line would come from him. Anyway, so we track on a little bit and through Joseph, they were in Egypt, weren't they? And at first, life in Egypt was good because Joseph was the prime minister. And so the Israelites were appreciated. They were sort of welcome visitors. But after 400 years or so, things changed slightly. And what did life become like for God's people in Egypt? How fun was it? Thumbs down. We're getting thumbs down from Seth. How thumbs down was it? Can you give us any examples of how bad it was? They became slaves, didn't they? Yeah, they became slaves in Egypt, and life was pretty grim, certainly. What did they have to do as slaves? Anybody? Anyone, any adults other than Shell or Dan? Make bricks. Yeah, they had to make bricks to make buildings, and they even had to gather all the bits to make the bricks, and they had slave drivers, and life was really, really, really miserable, wasn't it? And then God sent a rescuer for them. Who is the rescuer that God sent? And anybody else? Come on, some adults at the back. Come on. Come on. Si, you know, I'm sure. Moses. Yes, thank you, Kate. Thank you. I think you said Moses there. Moses was said to be the rescuer for God's people, wasn't he? And under Moses, they managed to get out of Egypt to be brought. There you go. Going through the Red Sea. And wonderful, wonderful promises that God was continuing to give to his people, keeping tracking those promises, because they're now a big people, aren't they? There's maybe about 2 million of them. So the people are growing. They've been in the wrong place, but now they're on the move, aren't they? They're heading towards the promised land. And wonderfully, God is going with them, isn't he? And how did they know that God was going with them? What sign did God give them as they left Egypt to know that he was going with them? Barney, can you remember? Can you remember what the sign was? Fantastic. Yeah, during the day, there was a pillar of clouds, and during the night, there was a pillar of fire, wasn't there? Cloud and fire, symbols of God's presence going with his people. And the first place they got to was Mount Sinai. After they'd been through the Red Sea, they got to Mount Sinai. And what happened, what special happened at Mount Sinai? What happened at Mount Sinai? Anybody? Year three should certainly know. I know it's a year three topic, isn't it? Go on, Seth. The Ten Commandments. Yeah, Moses was given the Ten Commandments. Moses got to meet with God, didn't he, up Mount Sinai, and gave him the Ten Commandments, gave him his word. And so they carried on from Mount Sinai, heading towards the Promised Land. And it wasn't a big journey. It wasn't a big journey to the Promised Land. Just, you know, a few miles. Shouldn't have taken them very long. But they got near the edge of the Promised Land. And then Moses chose 12 men to go and spy out the land. So here we've got the 12 men to spy out the land. And there was one from each tribe of God's people. And they were sent into the Promised Land to see what it was like. They were sent ahead to scout it all out and to work out how they were going to go and take the land. Now, what was the report? Does anyone know what the report was that kind of came back from these 12 scouts in the Promised Land? Any ideas of anyone else want to answer questions, or are we just Will? They were certainly the cities were well fortified. Yeah, that's an important thing to recognize. The cities had big walls. So that was maybe not a good thing, possibly. Was there anything good that came back in the report? Anything good, AJ? The land flowing with milk and honey. Yes, and there were huge bunches of grapes, weren't they? They were so big that two men had to carry them on a pole on their shoulder and things like that. So, yeah, so there were lots of good things about the land. Definitely the Promised Land is shaping up well. But we've heard about one problem was the big cities with their big walls. Any other problems that some of the spies, in fact, 10 of the spies came back saying? Anyone else? Go on, Pippa. Won't let them in. Yeah. What were the people in the land like? Claire. They were giants. Yeah, they were that big. I think we've got a picture of a giant as well. Go on, Bethany. They're fantastic. Yeah, huge, scary soldiers. And 10 of the spies even said, we look like grasshoppers in their sight. So we look like little insects to them. They were so huge and big and scary. So there's like big, scary cities and there's big, scary people. Yeah, feels like the land of the giants. And so they were like, we're not sure we're going to be able to do this. Did all of the spies say that? Did all of the spies? No. How many didn't? Two. Someone could do some math. Fantastic. And who were the two? Who Sad. Do you know Reuben? No. Sure, mummy does. Joshua and Caleb. Yeah, Joshua and Caleb were the two who came back with the good report. And they were like, yeah, let's go. Let's go. It's great land. And God's with us. And it's there for the taking. But 10 of them went, nah, they're big and scary. They're big and scary. We'll get smashed by these huge, scary soldiers. And so, well, at first, they didn't go in. They didn't go in. And how did God judge them as a result for not trusting him and going into the land? How did God judge them as a result? What do they have to do? What do they have to do? The journey that should have taken a few days. Anyone know? Well, yeah, they stumbled around, wandered around in the desert for 40 years, going round and round and round and round, until all of that generation who hadn't trusted God and his promises died out. Great. Well, that's kind of got us pretty much up to where we need to be at the end of book 5 of the Bible. So we've done Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And what comes next? Joshua comes next. So that's what we're thinking about this term, certainly. But before we get to that and the excitement of Joshua, we're going to sing again now. Because even if God's people in the wilderness didn't trust in God and his promises, we have so many reasons to trust that God always keeps his promises. And so let's sing about that together now. Let's stand to sing. Brilliant, fantastic. Have a seat. So we've left the people of God, haven't we? They're back at the edge of the promised land, and they're all ready to go in. You know, so now's the time, surely, just for Moses to pick up his staff and to lead the people into the land. Is that right? Is Moses going to lead the people into the land? Why not? Why isn't Moses going to lead the people into the land? He's dead. Okay, fair enough. End of Deuteronomy. Yes, he is dead. He wasn't allowed to, was he? Because he too hadn't fully trusted in God's promises when he was commanded to do something. And so God said, you can see the promised land, but you won't be able to enter into the promised land. And, you know, Moses has been the leader of God's people for 40 years. For 40 years, he's been leading them, hasn't he, the whole time. And he's been a great and wonderful leader. I mean, it's a bit like for many of us who for the whole of our lifetime, basically, I think for most people here, the Queen was the Queen, wasn't she? That was all we ever knew. And she, you know, was a symbol of stability and sort of sense and reason and peacefulness and lots of good things, wasn't she? And the day came when she's not around anymore. To be honest, it's not been great since, really, you know, poor Charles and all that. But you know, it does feel like a replacement hasn't been found properly. And just think for the people of Israel, they've had Moses leading them for 40 years. How are they ever going to find someone to fill Moses's shoes? So just before we hear from God's word, just turn in the pews to those sitting around you and just think about some of the things about Moses that made him such a special leader, okay? So just chat anything that you can remember about Moses, what he did, maybe what he said, what happened with him, to him, just anything that you can think of that made Moses such a special leader. Brilliant. Okay. You can leave Moses up just for now. Yeah. Let's just enjoy Moses there. And I'm sure that's what he looked like. Anything anyone wants to shout out just that was good about Moses. Don't worry if I've already said it. That's fine. Yeah. Go on, Seth. He, Fantastic. Yeah, he kept leading the people, didn't he? Even though they weren't, did you say nice? Wise, even though they weren't wise. Yeah, yeah. So he was wise, wasn't he? He was really wise, and lots of it. We've heard about his one moment of not being very wise, but largely he was really wise, wasn't he? Yeah. Anything else, Dan? He spoke with God face to face, as with a friend, didn't he? Yeah, definitely. That's another wonderful thing. Moses had the privilege. And what did he look like after it? What did he look like? He was shining, wasn't he? Yeah, his face glowed with the reflected glory of the Lord, as a sign to God's people that he had been speaking with God. Yeah, Tobes.
God helped Moses when I fight one of his
fighting. Fantastic, yeah, yeah. When he had his hands in the air, yeah, when he had his hands in the air, and Joshua was down in the valley, wasn't he, fighting against the Amalekites, and Moses was praying, and God listened to his prayers, didn't he? Yeah, and answered them in wonderful, wonderful ways, certainly. Anything from his early career, maybe? You know, anything sort of special? He led them out of Egypt. Yeah, he had the privilege of leading God's people out of Egypt through the Red Sea and all that. Yeah, God. Oh, sorry, Pippa. Was that what you were going to say? Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. Well, yeah, he trusted God and he carried on going, didn't he? Certainly. Yeah, there were the whole, you know, 10 plagues kind of thing, Passover, you know, all that kind of stuff. Certainly. Yeah, we had one at the front here. What did he? He started the sacrificial system. Well, he entrusted his brother to start the sacrificial system, certainly. So lots of the things that just lasted all the way through the Old Testament times started under Moses, didn't they? He did what God said. Yes, 99.9% of the time. yeah, brilliant. Yeah, Agnes, have you got something else?
God trusted him.
God trusted him with the Ten Commandments. Yeah, not once, but twice after he had broken them when he had a, yeah. I mean, even when he got angry there, that was a good and right thing to do, wasn't he? Because he was angry about the people's sin, certainly, just like God was. Yeah. Yeah. Say that again. God rescued him when he was a baby, didn't he? Yeah, yeah, amazing miracle. So yeah, Moses was, I mean, so this is only underlining the fact, isn't it? Moses was a really, really amazing leader, blessed by God in all sorts of ways, able to do wonderful things through God's power and God's strength. And just, you know, when he met up at the top of Mount Sinai and it was all sort of fireworks going off, basically cloud and thunder and lightning and stuff, and all the rest of the people were afraid. And Moses got to go up there and be with God. Extraordinary, amazing privilege. How on earth is anyone going to follow that? How on earth is anyone going to follow that? Well, we're going to have a reading from Joshua chapter 1 now, and I want you to listen very carefully to what we're told about Joshua that might help us to answer that question of how on earth he might be able to follow Moses. So listen carefully as Becca reads. There are pictures on the screen. Over to you.
So it's Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9, and it can be found on page 216 of the Bibles in the pews. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the River Jordan into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, keep that open in front of you and turn again. You've just heard it. And just see if you can find a few things in there that God says to Joshua that show that we can have confidence in Joshua being the next leader of God's people. See if you can find a few things in there. Okay. Anybody find anything in those verses that will help us to think about Joshua as the next leader of God's people? Archie, have you got something?
God will never leave him.
God will never leave him. God will never leave him. God will be with him, certainly. I mean, that was kind of emphasized quite a few times in various different ways. Did anyone else get that? Did anyone else see that anywhere? Yeah. Pips, Abigail? So yeah, it's the promise, isn't it? The promise of the land. I'm definitely saying you will be able to take every part of the land that I've promised to you. Yes. And remember, Joshua had trusted the first time, hadn't he? When he had gone and scouted the land 40 years, he's been waiting for 40 years to go back and take the land, certainly. And so yeah, we know that promise very definitely. Anything else? Nick?
You will lead. So again, it's a promise of answer. You will lead.
Yeah, you will lead my people. Yeah. So yeah, God's chosen him, hasn't he, to be the leader. That's a good start, Linda. Fantastic. So yeah, the law and the commandments, which have been given to Moses, they've been handed on to Joshua, haven't they? Yeah, fantastic. Certainly very important. Anything else, Tobes? He's the servant of the Lord. Where was that? Yeah, that was Moses, wasn't it? But yeah, but Joshua's going to follow in a similar pattern, certainly. Fantastic. So, well, just to try and gather things together there's lots of great stuff there. But I think there are two themes particularly that really helpfully come through. And so the first one in Joshua 1 verse 5, you've got there, haven't you? As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. And I think we had that from Archie. Wasn't that right? And then a little bit later in verse 9, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This is the promise, isn't it, of God's presence going with Joshua. And if you think about it, the reason Moses was so special was because he was in the presence of the Lord. He knew the presence of God in that very intimate way. And yes, it's going to be different for Joshua, but in some ways it's going to be the same as well. He will know God's presence with him every step of the way, just as Moses did. Okay, Joshua's not going to have the whole face shining thing and meeting at Mount Sinai thing and things like that. But he's got God's presence with him every step of the way. So there's God's presence. And then second, I think we had it as well from Linda at the front. He's got God's word. So in verse 7, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Verse 8, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Joshua's been handed all he needs from Moses, passed down, even at the end of Deuteronomy. It says these words, Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. So it's the command of the Lord to Moses being passed on to Joshua as his successor and then being passed on to the people of God. And so the people of God, they could trust that Joshua was the right man for the job. He's been chosen by God and he's been given everything he needs. The promise of God's presence going with Joshua, and if they're with Joshua, that means that God's presence is with them as well. And they know it because they've been given God's word to guide them. And if you think about it, God's presence and God's word are both fulfilled in Jesus, aren't they? Jesus came to be the Word made flesh, the present Word. That's what we celebrate at Christmas, isn't it? That wonderful reading from John chapter 1. Jesus, the living Word, who came to live amongst us to show us exactly what God is like. And I expect you probably know, Joshua is just the Old Testament version of Jesus. It means God saves as well his name. Joshua and Jesus are the same name, just in different languages. Joshua is going to be a wonderful pointer for us to Jesus, who fulfills all these promises, as we've already sung. And at this Easter season, as we've been thinking about Jesus being with his disciples and having risen from the dead, and shortly we'll remember ascension, won't we, when he goes back up to heaven to be with his Father. And you might think, well, wouldn't it have been so much better to be there when Jesus was around? Isn't it sad that he's up in heaven and he's not with us today in the same way? Well, in a sense, that's a little bit like Moses, the supreme prophet of the Lord. And there wouldn't be another prophet like him until Jesus came as the prophet to end all prophets, if you like. And the people of Israel might think, isn't it sad that Moses isn't around anymore? But God's saying, in Joshua, you have everything you need to keep following me, to keep trusting me, to keep obeying me, to keep walking with me, and to go and take the promised land. And today, it's exactly the same for us. Yes, it's sad, isn't it, that we weren't there when Jesus was there, but we have his presence, the promise of the Holy Spirit come to live in our hearts. It's better, actually, than Joshua and the people of God had back then. They would have sort of signs and symbols of God's presence with them. We actually have God's Spirit living within us as a guarantee. And we have God's Word, don't we? The Bible, to guide us every step of the way. And the wonderful way that God promises through his Spirit to bring his Word to life for us. And that's what we pray happens each and every time we meet on Sunday mornings, as we're going to be thinking about the book of Joshua. Pray that God by his Spirit would bring his Word to life to help us to know what it looks like for us to walk towards our promised land, the new creation, and to trust our Joshua, Jesus himself. Pray that that would be going on. Pray that would be going on in all of our lives, whenever we open up God's words, that we'd be being led in the promises of God towards that glorious future. And I guess we've got little things to learn about leadership as well. And it'd be great for you to be praying for leaders within our church family, for me, for Phil as he comes to join us later in the term, for others on our staff, for Liz and Shell and Finn as they serve in those ways, but for leaders in all sorts of areas of church life, home group leaders, junior church leaders, XTB leaders, Avenue leaders, anyone who has a role of leadership, Noah's Ark, SALT, whatever it might be, pray that we would be leaders like Joshua. Leaders like Joshua, who are commissioned by God and assured of his presence with us. So we're sensitive to his Spirit working in us and are rooted in his Word, in the commandments, the Word that God has given us. Because then we'll be leading St. Andrew's Church family in the way that is wise and right and true and headed towards being with Jesus once again. Pray that that would be what we know as a church family as well, and that Joshua would help us in growing in that way too. So we've got an exciting time ahead this term. We've got to look forward to Joshua going into the promised land with the people of God and everything that's going to happen in that, and lots of lessons to learn as we walk through this life towards our promised land, the new creation. So why don't I pray and then we'll sing again. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we've seen of your goodness to your people as you raise up Joshua to be a new leader, to lead them into the promised land. Help us to know these wonderful promises fulfilled in Jesus and made real to us today as a church family, as we trust Jesus to lead us to the day when we will be with him forever. And we pray it in his precious name. Amen. So let's sing a song about putting our hope in the Lord. There are some actions that go with this. So if anyone wants to come and join me at the front for the actions, do come out And the rest of us can stand and sing and do the actions if you want to. Let's stand together. Brilliant. Thank you, guys. Great actions from the Salisbury's as well. Fantastic. We're now going to put our hope in the Lord as we pray together. And don't sit down, Lucy, Archie. The Boyle family are going to lead us in our prayers this morning. Thank you.
Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the gospel that sets us free from our sins and rescues us from hell. But not only that, we thank you so much that through Jesus we have a loving welcome from you. And as we trust in Jesus, you are indeed our loving Father. We can also enjoy being brothers and sisters in Christ here, both in our church family at St. Andrew's, but with millions of other Christians around the world. Thank you for the gift of church family. And please help us to love and bear with one another well, with grace and humility. As we look ahead to church life, going on with home groups, children's groups, salt, midweek communion, please, Father, would your word be central and Jesus seem to be great. And Lord, we pray that the people of Ashton who desperately need to know Jesus might come to hear of the risen Lord Jesus who changes everything. Please, would we be ready to love and welcome all who come and point them to Jesus. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for our mission partners around the world. We particularly pray for the Easts in London. Please would your word to be at work in Y, S and D, also for people serving other people around the world. Amen.
Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for our leaders. Please may they be filled with the Holy Spirit to lead and love like Jesus. Lord, thank you for their willingness to help children in groups like The Avenue, XTB and other groups in church. Please may they be humble, wanting to make a big deal out of Jesus, not themselves. Amen.
Amen.
Dear God, thank you that we could go on an Easter egg hunt. Thank you that everyone enjoyed it. Amen.
Amen.
Father, thank you, my church family.
Why? Thank you for our church family. Amen. And finally, gracious Heavenly Father, we praise you for the provision of the Vautiers joining our church family this summer. Please be making the path smooth as they prepare to move up north. Thank you for the house that's been found for them, and we ask that it would quickly become a home, a place where they feel comfortable and able to welcome people in. Please continue to give wisdom to the doctors and Phil in the best way to care for Innes and help her health improve. Please protect her from feelings of hopelessness and frustration, but to bring everything before you daily, trusting in your goodness. We also ask that you would provide a school place for Clem and for Margot. In the community, and this would bring many opportunities for them to feel settled and to make friends. Please remove any nerves or fears the children may be feeling and replace it with a deep trust in you, their loving Heavenly Father. We also pray for Phil that he would be looking forward to the opportunities he has with us to grow and learn in leading and serving a church family. May we be a welcoming, helpful and teachable church family, ready to serve them as they serve us. Please may we all grow together in the knowledge and love of the Lord Jesus, that we may love each other well and be able to show those who don't know you yet how amazing you are. Please be growing your kingdom here in Ashton and bringing glory to your name. We ask all these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Boyle family. Well, we're nearly at the end of our time together, and we're going to sing one last time, because the real reason that Moses was such a great leader and that we can know that Joshua was going to be a good leader too was because they have a great God. So let's sing about how great he is together. Let's stand and sing.